I'd like to read with you this Gospel, chapter 13. You know how it is sometimes that there's a phrase that goes through your mind for a good couple of weeks. And the passage that I'm going to speak on this evening was in my mind before the events took place in Orlando. And it was on my mind before one who had been here in this hall have been taken out into eternity. I'd like to read the first five verses of Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. It says this: "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But, except or unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18, upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." It was that phrase particularly that occurs twice in our reading this evening, twice from the lips of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, that I want to think about this evening, where it says this: "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Now, it's a fact, isn't it, that people die every day. Often largely unnoticed, except by those who knew them and those who were close to them and dear to them. But there are people that pass out of this world and you never knew who they were. You see their names in the paper and it means nothing, and it doesn't really signify anything very much to you personally. But there are times when there are large numbers of people that are cut off suddenly and without warning at one particular time. And I guess if we were bringing up this passage to date, we might have said, in the words of verse 4, those 50 that were shot in a bar in Orlando, do you think that they were sinners above all the people that live in the United States of America? The Lord Jesus says this: "I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." It's when news like this hits the headlines, isn't it, that something of the frailty of life, the mortality of each of us, the suddenness and the unexpected way in which life can suddenly be cut off without warning, maybe sometimes it comes home to us. We've read this evening of two such events that hit the news headlines of the day, if they had newspapers. It would have done if they had newspapers. But these were two events that were widely known and widely spoken about and widely publicised at the time. And I guess they fall into two different categories. The first category is what we might call an atrocity, an atrocious event, a terrible, terrible event that demonstrates the wickedness of man. Now, we hear about those all the time, don't we? A man that took a gun into a bar in Orlando would be one of them. Those that would blow themselves up in places like Iraq or Syria would be others. Those that would blow themselves up and aeroplanes out of the sky would be another. The wickedness of man. And suddenly, large numbers of people are cut off. And they pass into eternity. Souls pass into eternity. The second one, I guess you could put under the category of accidents. And accidents do happen, and sometimes accidents or natural disasters occur, and large people are swept away. You can think of earthquakes, you can think of floods, you can think of the tsunami a number of years ago. And here you can think of a tower that fell. One man that I was looking at spoke about a tower as being a place of safety. And you do think of towers as places of safety, places of refuge, but this tower fell. And 18 people at the time were swept into eternity. But whether it is by atrocity or whether it is by natural disaster, the result was the same, for lives were ended. And people were ushered into eternity. Now, when we hear of these kind of things, I guess there are two reactions that we could have. The first reaction, I guess, would be one that most people would have. It's the reaction of shock, of horror, of sympathy for those that were involved. I guess that would be the normal reaction, wouldn't it? And we think of the tragedy, the loss of life, the kind of things that happen. And sometimes we'll think, what a waste. Promising lives, maybe, sometimes, cut off. The other reaction is maybe less common. But it's the reaction that's almost implied here. It's the reaction that would say, well, if this happened to them, then this must have been divine judgment on them. That this must have been, that they must have done something terrible, and judgment fell on them. So maybe these people were worse than anybody else in the places that they were living. But I want you to notice that in response, the Lord Jesus turns it round. And he turns it back on the people that he's talking to, or the people that are talking to him. And twice over in verse 3 and in verse 5, he turns the spotlight on you. You. Unless you repent. For when we hear these things, and when these things hit the headlines, it's an opportunity to take stock. It's an opportunity to think. It's an opportunity to wonder and to say, if that had been me, and in some cases it could so easily have been, if that had been me there, where would I be? If I had suddenly been ushered out into eternity, where would I be? What would become of me? The Lord Jesus says this, he says, unless you repent. Unless you repent. And we'll come back to that very shortly, because that's the bulk of what I want to say this evening. Unless you repent, you will all. You will all likewise perish. You know, this isn't just anybody that's speaking. This is the Lord Jesus that's talking. This is the Son of God who is talking. This is the one who knows who is talking. In the final analysis, this is the judge who is talking. For one day when we pass out of this world, we're going to have to stand before the God of heaven. We're going to have to stand before the judge. And the Lord Jesus himself said, "The Father judgeth no one, but has committed all judgment unto the Son." Now think about that. Think about that. One day, we're going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus. So it's very important that we listen to what he says. It's very important that we take on board the warning that he gives when he says, "Unless you repent, you'll perish." Unless you repent, you'll perish. In fact, he doesn't just say that. He says, "Unless you repent, you will all perish. All of you, every single one of you, there's no one who's exempt. The condemnation is universal." And as we would say week by week from the platform, that all have sinned. Every single one of us. And as we'll think in a very short while, repentance is facing up to that fact. Part of repentance is facing up to the fact that I personally am a sinner in the sight of God. And I deserve to be judged. I deserve to be punished for my sin. But he says, not only all, he speaks about perishing. Now, what does he mean when he says, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish"? Does he mean that a wall's going to fall on you? Does he mean that you're going to get shot? Does he mean something else like that? Well, obviously he doesn't, does he? Because not everybody is cut off in that kind of way. You see, what the Lord Jesus is talking about goes deeper than perishing in an accident or perishing as the result of an atrocity. For when the Lord Jesus talks about perishing, he's talking not just about your body, he's talking about your soul. He's talking about the real you that lives inside your body. He's talking about who you really are. Now, the outward appearance is what I see. The outward appearance is what gives shape and expression to who you are. But who you are is inside you. And it's called your soul. And your soul is never dying. Your soul lives on forever. And your soul can spend eternity with God or without God. In the bliss and the glory and the splendor of heaven, or being judged for your sin. It's solemn to think of that, isn't it? And when the Lord Jesus speaks about perishing, he speaks about being judged. He speaks about being punished. He speaks about being cut off and separated from God and from heaven and from the life of God forever. Mind you, it's not just your soul that will experience it. For the Bible teaches us that those who have died, every single one of them will be raised again from the dead. And if you are to perish, it's something that you will experience, body, soul, and spirit, every single part of you. But we didn't just come here tonight to tell you that. We didn't just come here tonight to tell you that you're perishing and that's it. Because the Lord Jesus presents another way. The Lord Jesus himself presents another alternative. And that alternative is called repentance. That alternative is to repent. You say, well, what does repent mean? Well, if you think about the word itself, it's made up of two bits, and that's re and pent. And if you go into what they go, if you go into what the words mean, and the meaning of words, you call it etymology, then it simply means this. It means re, which is again, and pent means think. It means to think again. If you go into the meaning of the Greek word, that means something different, or something similar, if you like. And that means a change of mind, or a change of attitude. We talk about it as a change of direction, and it's a really good one, because it means from going one way, you turn round and you go a different way. Turning round, thinking again. A change of mind, a change of attitude. I want to ask you this evening, have you ever repented? Have you ever repented? And you say, well, I don't really know. I want to tell you this evening, if you don't know, then make sure you do. Because it's this serious, says the Lord Jesus, unless you repent, you'll perish. Unless you repent, you'll perish. So if you don't know if you've ever done it, then you need to make sure you have. You need to make sure you do. So, well, I can't really understand it. Come at it again. What do I need to rethink? What do I need to change my mind about? Well, the first thing that we need to change our mind about is really ourselves. And it's our sin. That little word that's such a big problem. I want to ask you this evening, have you ever faced up to your own sinfulness? Have you ever faced up to your own failure? Ever faced up to the fact that you're not right with God? That you've done those things that displease God, those things that are rebellious against God, those things that mean I've been going my way and not God's way. The Bible calls it sin. Have you ever realised this evening that you are a sinner? You know, it's one thing to come to meetings like this and to hear all have sinned and says, yes, I believe that. I agree with that. It's another to realise that it means you. And it means me. It's a whole different ball game to hear that people are perishing and say, yes, well, that's true. But to realise that I'm perishing, that I'm a sinner. Let's ask another question. Have you ever been sorry for your sin? You see, having a change of mind and a change of attitude means facing up to the fact that sin is hateful to God. It's absolutely abhorrent to God, and God will not have sin in his presence. Let me ask you this evening, have you ever been sorry that you've offended the God of heaven? Have you ever been sorry that you have, if you like, thrown his love and his goodness and his grace back in his face? Because that's what sin is. Because God is good. And God is gracious. And God is loving. And God is kind. Says the psalmist, taste and see that the Lord is good. Says the Lord Jesus, he makes his sun shine on the righteous and on the unrighteous. It's raining tonight. He sends the rain on those that are good and those that are not good. God is gracious and faithful in all that he does. Have you ever acknowledged him for that? And have you ever realized how your sin hurts him? Have you ever realized how God feels about your sin? Let's ask you another question. Have you ever realized that you deserve to be punished? It's one thing admitting that we're wrong. It's one thing admitting that we are sinners. It's another thing admitting that we deserve to be punished. Have you ever had that with children, I wonder? With children, it comes to that. It's a really hard job getting them to admit that they're wrong in the first place. And children are just little people, aren't they? They're just little adults. Well, they're not adults, but they're what will grow. They're just like us. It's really hard getting them to admit that they're wrong in the first place. But it's another hard job convincing them that they deserve to be punished for what they have done wrong. What, this evening, have you ever come to that position? Have you ever realised that you deserve to be judged for what you've done? I tell you this evening, it's a good place to get to. It's a good place to get to realise that you deserve to be punished for your sin. And part of repentance is a turning from. It's a turning from sin, a turning away from sin, a realization that that sin is keeping you away from God, keeping you out of the presence of God, keeping you out of heaven. But that's not all that it is. Because repentance is not just a turning from, but it's a turning to. And that's really important. You see, the gospel isn't about getting you to wallow in hopelessness. It's not about getting you to acknowledge your guilt and to say, oh no, I'm done for, that's it, that's finished. Because the gospel is good news, that's what it means. It's good news, and it's good news for you this evening. It's good news for me. It's not just about turning away from sin, but it's about turning to God. Says Paul, it's repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we've spoken about death this evening. We've read about two tragic happenings that took place. And this evening, as we do every week, I want to point you to another death. And that's the death of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And this death was sudden, in one sense. And this death was violent. I want to say that this death was most certainly not accidental. Because this death, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, was something that was planned. And it was planned by God. And it was planned by God for the salvation of sinners, like you and like me. Because without the death of the Lord Jesus, there could be no salvation. And there could be no heaven for any of us. There could be no forgiveness. Because he didn't die because of sin. That is, he didn't die because of his own sin. But the Lord Jesus died for sin. The Lord Jesus died to take the punishment for sin. To take it upon himself. Mind you, he was the only one who could do it. See, it's only God could solve the problem. It meant that the Son of God had to leave heaven behind and come down here to this earth. Only a man could die. Only someone who was a human being could die. And it meant that the God of heaven must become man so that he could die my death. I want to say this evening that the gospel is an amazing message. An absolutely amazing message. It's something that comes from the very heart of God. And it meets you. And it meets me. In all our need. And it solves the problem of sin. There's nothing else that can do it. No matter how hard I try, no matter what works I do, no matter how closely I try to follow the pattern laid down in the scriptures, there's no way that I can do it. And it's just doomed to failure. But the Lord Jesus has come. And the Lord Jesus has died. And the Lord Jesus has taken the punishment for our sins. I want to point us to another couple of verses. You know, there's two verses that say here, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. There's two more verses that would speak about perishing, or rather, they speak about not perishing. They're found in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 15, that says this, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever trusts in him, that's the Lord Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. The next one says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, it may be, believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that so simple? Isn't that straightforward? There's nothing complicated about it. There's nothing, if you like, nothing hard about it. It's simple faith and trust in the Lord Jesus that will gain you this evening eternal life. That will gain you a home in heaven. That will gain you the forgiveness of sins. Oh, what a vast difference to the verses that we read at the beginning. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Says the scripture, whosoever believeth in him, in the Lord Jesus, whoever puts their trust in him, recognizing that he died for you, recognizing that he took your punishment, that he took your place, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to ask you this evening, are you ready? Are you ready? If your time on earth suddenly came to an end, are you ready? Have you repented? Have you changed your mind? Have you had a rethink? Have you had a change of direction? Have you turned away from your sin? Have you faced up to the fact that you're a sinner and deserve to be punished? Have you turned to the only one who can help you? Have you laid hold upon the Christ of Calvary, the one who died, the one who's risen again from the dead, and who lives in the power of an endless life? I want to tell you this evening that if you do that, there's joy. It wasn't a very joyful start to the meeting, was it? I want to tell you this evening it could be a joyful finish. Because the Bible speaks of joy and peace in believing. It speaks of joy for you. Do you want the joy that only God can give? The settled understanding that whatever happens to you, whatever happens to your body, that all is well with your soul. That all is well with you, that you're saved, that you're safe. And safe for eternity. Oh, there's no joy like that. The joy of knowing your sins forgiven. And knowing that you're on the way to heaven. I want to tell you this evening that if you were to repent, if you were to put your trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation, there'd be joy for the Christians here. Oh, there'd be joy for the Christians here. There's nothing like hearing of people getting saved. There's nothing like hearing of people turning from their sin and turning to the Saviour. I want to tell you, the joy doesn't stop there. Joy for you, Joy for the Christians here, says the Lord Jesus. And again, he's the one who knows. Says the Lord Jesus, there's joy amongst the angels of heaven over one sinner that repents. Joy amongst the angels. Joy in heaven. Joy on earth. Joy united over one sinner who repents. Are you that sinner this evening? Are you that sinner maybe as you listen on the internet? I tell you this evening, there'd be joy. There could be joy. There could be joy in your soul. There could be joy here in the hall. There could be joy amongst the angels of heaven if you were willing to turn and to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for this time that we spent together this evening. In many ways, our Father, we've had solemn issues to think about. Solemn things to face up to. But our Father, we pray that thou wilt help us, if we've never done so before, to face up to these issues. To realise our own need before thee. And to realise that the Lord Jesus is the one who can meet us in all our need. Our Father, we thank thee for him this evening. We thank thee, Father, for the one who is willing to endure the suffering of Calvary so that sinners like us could be saved. We thank thee, Father, for one who is such a wonderful Saviour. Now, Father, it's our desire this evening that some soul might find him this evening. Some soul might come to know him in that personal way as their own Lord and Saviour. So, our Father, we just pray thy blessing to be upon thy word. We pray thy blessing to be upon each one of us as we go home now. We commit ourselves to thee as we give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.